رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. And I'd like to begin by expressing my condolences on the coming of this day of Ashura and the tragedies that occurred on this day. Inshallah, I'd like to just spend a few minutes making a few remarks and then we'll continue with the Masab, inshallah. One point is in regards to the discussion that we concluded this afternoon. I was asked to just make a clarification in regards to that. We know that in Islam and in our responsibilities as Muslims, those actions that are obligatory are of two kinds. Sometimes an obligatory action is required for all Muslims to do individually themselves. For example, praying is something that is wajib, obligatory, and every Muslim must pray themselves individually. Sometimes some of the responsibilities that we have that are obligatory are not on, it is not the responsibility of everybody to do it at the same time. Meaning that if a group of individuals was to perform that action, then it is sufficient for the rest of the Muslimin not to engage in that activity. For example, if there ever come time to war and jihad in Islam, it isn't necessary for all of the Muslimin to enter into battle. If there is a sufficient amount of Muslimin present that will suffice as the army of Islam, then it isn't required for all to engage. And for example, those who must learn the religion and teach others, again, if a number of them perform this requirement, then it isn't required and it doesn't become the responsibility of the rest of the Muslims to perform the action. In regards to enjoining the good and forbidding the evil, the point that I wanted to make is the action in essence is obligatory on all of us in the sense that all of us are responsible toward performing this action. Now, each individual, as we stated earlier today, must understand their level and their potential and understand how much or at what level they can perform this action. But not every individual should be enjoining good and forbidding the evil on the same person. For example, you know that your responsibility is towards a certain individual. You know your potentials in regards to that. If you know you're not qualified, then you seek help in regards to that, which we stated in previous discussions. But just to say that a number of people are already doing it and I don't have to worry about it, no. This is not the meaning of this this act and this law being obligatory. So it's obligatory on us all, but everyone in their own way and at their own level. So inshallah that will clear up the issue in regards to how it is obligatory and how it should be practiced. I'd like to take this opportunity, because seeing this is the last majlis, to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for first blessing all of us with the opportunity of having this majalis. And I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving me the opportunity to be at the service of you brothers and sisters. And I'd like to thank all of you here, and especially those who took an active role and those who serve on the boards and the committees of the Islamic Center, for giving me this opportunity to serve all of you brothers and sisters. And I also ask and apologize again first to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Holy Imam for any of my shortcomings, and then all of you brothers and sisters, for we are all at some level at fault and we all make mistakes, whether it is intentional or unintentional. Really my intention was not to perform or do anything that would offend or disrespect or embarrass anyone. So if anything like that did occur, I'd like to apologize on my behalf, and I ask all of you really to sincerely pray for us and that we inshallah can work towards being a better servant of Allah and a better servant to all the Muslimin and the Muslim communities. Again, I'd like to thank all of those who really took time or took energy or in any way were able to really serve this servant of Allah, whether it being giving their time, whether it being preparing the room that we're staying at, whether preparing anything that would make our stay easier Alhamdulillah, I can say without any sort of exaggeration that my stay has been absolutely brilliant and has been extremely comfortable, and there are less communities like this community in this country that I've seen. So I'd like to thank all of you and amend all of you on this fact that you have an extremely, extremely strong core and foundation, and this community, from what I've seen and what I've observed, really has the potential to be a role model for all communities in this country. So far, alhamdulillah, Allah's blessing has been with you. And so long as you continue with this sincerity and with this goal to keep the unity and stay close to each other and maintain this brotherhood, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help will be with you, His support will be with you. Inshallah, as this community grows, so will the spirituality and so will the Islamic activities. And again, this community, inshallah, will become a role model for others. So I'd like to urge all of you to continue in this route, in this way. And really, I know times will get tough, and I'm sure they have in the past, but be patient, just as the companions of the Holy Imam were. Be patient and have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He will be there to help you and support you through the difficult times that you may have or you may have had as a community. And I'd like to share a hadith from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salawat ala Muhammad wa Muhammad. I'd like to share a hadith from the Holy Prophet in which he states that when man dies, his account is closed. We know that as human beings, we are only given an opportunity to perform actions and to do good and, for example, be at fault while we are alive in this world. And after we are dead, then our opportunities to be able to return to this world do not exist. So with that fact, the Holy Prophet says that when an individual dies, this account closes for him, and nothing can be added to this individual's list of good deeds other than three people or three groups of items. The Holy Prophet says the first group is those individuals who have given a charity that is ongoing. Sadaqatun jariyah. A charity that one has given, that this charity continues to give continuously. Now what does this mean? We know that charity can be of two kinds. One type of charity can be a charity given, and it only helps for that period of time, and then it's done. Its effects don't carry over. And sometimes the effects of a charity given can continue for a period of time. For example, if one spends money, or one spends their energy or time to create or to uphold an Islamic center such as this, any good that comes out of the center is a charity for those who have helped or have invested in it. And so long as centers like these continue to exist, then in our accounts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to add the blessings and elevate our status. Again, anything that will continue. For example, you teach someone something, you create a, you donate, for example, to a hospital, you donate towards a school. So long as someone is benefiting from that charity, you will also reap the benefits from it, even after you are dead. So that's the first case. The second case is of an individual who teaches someone something, and that knowledge that person has acquired, so long as he works and he uses that knowledge towards good, then the person who taught him, again, he reaps the benefits of that knowledge and that action. And the third group are individuals who raise good children, and so long as their children are alive and living a life that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then for the parents, they are continued to be blessed and rewarded for their investment and their charity in their children. So the Holy Prophet is saying this to really show the importance of these three things. We must give charity to make sure centers like these stay open and they continue to grow. We must make sure that we also have this educational element towards it. Help teach our children and other people in regards to the elements and really the resources they need in their lives. If our children don't know how to read Quran, then let's have activities that can help them read and understand the Quran. If they need to know what their Islamic responsibilities are, let's have gatherings that help them with that. And anything, any other requirement or needs that they have, if we are able to meet those needs, then this charity will continue to exist. And know that a time will come that really our hands are cut and our hands are tied in the sense that we cannot have access to this world. It's always good to know we have a sense of insurance after we pass away. And lastly, our children. Let's not forget our children, who we know are the biggest investment. And they are the future of both this community, of this country, and in the world. So it's important that we invest and we really look after them and make sure they are prepared and are ready for the next step and the next stages in their life. Even if they feel that they are, as elders, we know really what they need to possess to be successful individuals and successful Muslims in this country and in these communities. Let's please raise them and prepare them with the tools and resources that is required to be successful, inshallah. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to really bless this community. And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He helps guide us and keep us on the straight path. And that we can be true servants of both Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his companions, and especially the Imam of our time. May Allah inshallah hasten his reappearance. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. You know, today is a day of grieving and of mourning, and time is short. And really, there's a lot to be said as to the events that took place after the death of Imam Hussein and his companions. And I know we're all tired from the previous programs, but let's also take in mind and remember how tired Zainab is right now and what she has to deal with. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعل الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم everyone. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين after the death of Imam al-Hussein, in the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein, there were no soldiers and men left to take care of and look after and to protect the women and children of the companions of the Holy Imam. As the bodies of the soldiers of Imam al-Hussein laid on the floor, the enemies then began to raid the tents of the family of the Holy Prophet. They said, as the enemies were raiding the tents, they came in numbers and so fast that some of the children were trampled under the horses. They say, Atika, the daughter of Muslim ibn Aqil, was running away from these soldiers as they came on their horses. But these people didn't care for the women and the children. As they came, they trampled the body of Atika, and she became martyred and shaheed as she was running away. They say, Fatima, the daughter of Imam al-Hussein, she said, I was standing outside the tents and looking onto the battlefield and onto the body of my father and his companions. And I was thinking, Ya Allah, what will happen to us now? Now that no one is here to protect us, what will these enemies of Islam do to us? Will they kill us and martyr us? Or will they take us as their prisoners? She said, then I saw one of the enemy soldiers approaching the women and the children. She would hit them, he would hit them with the back of his spear and take the cloths and the scarves and the hijab of the women for themselves. And the women would yell and scream, Wa Jadda, Wa Aliya, Wa Hassana, Wa Husayna. Is there no one here to protect the family of the Holy Prophet? Fatima then said, I was very scared, and my body began to shake and shiver. I went to my aunt Umm Kulthum for safety. While I was there, then I saw one of the enemies of Islam coming my way. I began to run, and I thought that maybe I could outrun and lose him. When I looked back, I saw this enemy of Islam was coming from behind me. He hit me with the base of his spear in my back, and I fell to the floor face first. He then proceeded to pull the earrings off of my ear. As he did that, my ears ripped and blood began to fall on my face and on my head. The pain of this was too much. She said, I passed out on the floor with my ears bleeding. She said, when I woke up and I came to, I saw my aunt beside me. She was crying and she was saying, let us return to the tents and see what has happened to the women and the children. Let us see what has happened to your ill brother Zain al-Abidin. She said that I got up and said, Ya Ammata, Hal min khirghatin astur biha ra'si an a'yun an-nudar. She said, oh my aunt, is there anything, any cloth to cover my head from those who are looking? She said, my aunt Zainab replied, Ya Binta, Ammatuki mithluk. Your aunt is just like you, Fatima. They said they returned to the tent. tents, and they all entered the tents, the women and the children. The army of Umar ibn Sa'd then came to the tents, and they told all of the women and children to exit. Zainab said, "Leave us alone, O enemy of Allah." Umar ibn Sa'd said, "You have no choice but to come out and become our prisoners." Zainab said, "We will not come out with our own two feet." It is then that Umar ibn Sa'd gave the command to light the tents on fire. The enemies of Islam then began to light all the tents on fire. After the tents caught fire, they saw all the women and children run out of the tents barefoot, running here and there for safety. One of the soldiers then said, "I saw a little girl coming out of the tent, but when she was coming out, I saw her dress had caught on fire. She was running away from the tent for safety. I began to follow this little girl. I said, 'She has done nothing to deserve this.' I wanted to put out the fire of her dress. When I approached a young girl and she saw me, she became afraid and scared and began to run again. I said, 'Stop running, oh young girl. The more you run, the more the dress will burn.' I continued to follow her, and when I reached her, I asked her, 'Let me put out the fire of your tent.' She said, 'Oh enemy of Islam, whatever you want, take from me, but do not hurt me. Don't you know who I am? I am the daughter of the Holy Prophet.' He said, 'Wallah, I'm not here to bother you, little girl. I'm only here to put the fire out that your dress has caught fire.' The little girl then turned to the soldier and said, 'I have a question for you. Which direction is Najaf?' The soldier was confused. He said, 'Why do you ask of the direction of Najaf?' This little girl then said, 'I am an orphan, wallah, and I have no one to look after me. Tell me the direction of Najaf. I want to tell Ali alayhi salam what has happened here today. I want to ask Ali, is this the same community of the Holy Prophet? What have they done to us here, ya Ali? Why have they treated us like this, ya Ali?' Then they said that the enemies of Islam had burnt all of the tents. Imam Zain al-Abidin was so weak and so sick that he was laying in one of the tents that had caught fire. Zainab alayhi salam was standing outside of the tent of Imam Zain al-Abidin to protect him. She said, "I saw one of the enemies of Islam come to the tent of Zain al-Abidin. As he came in, the holy Imam was laying on a rug made of skin. She said, I saw this enemy of Islam pull the rug so hard and so fast that the holy Imam fell on the floor face first. The Imam was so ill and so weak, but yet they had no mercy on him. After they put the tents on the fire, Zainab came to Imam Zain al-Abidin and asked him, 'Oh Imam, they have put the tents on fire. What should we do now?' The Imam replied, 'Alaykum nabil farah. I tell you, the women and children, to run for safety. I tell you to run from these enemies of Islam.' The women and children, each of them ran to one side of the desert looking for protection. On this day of Sham al-Ghaliban, one of the responsibilities of Zainab was to keep everyone safe. She gathered all the women and children. After she had gathered them, she came to find out that two of the children were missing. 'Where are these children? They are not here.' She went to Umm Kulthum. She said, 'We must find these two children. Where have they gone?' They said, 'We searched the empty field. We kept looking and kept calling out for them. And when we found them, we saw that these two young children were laying on the ground. Each of them had put their hands on the neck of the other. When we approached the body, we saw out of the thirst and the hunger and the fear, both of these young children had died. Wa Husayna, Wa Husayna, Wa Husayna. difficulties of Zainab didn't end there. When it became night, they say Zainab only slept for a few moments. When Zainab closed her eyes to rest, she immediately saw her mother Fatima al-Zahra in her dreams. Zainab asked her, "Oh my mother, did you witness what has happened to my brother Hussein and his followers? Did you see what has happened to Abbas and Ali al-Akbar and Ali al-Asghar?" Fatima said, "Ya Zainab, I was there the whole time and witnessed the tragedy that took place to Hussein." But she said, "Ya Zainab, now is not the time for this. Rise and get up, for Ruqayya is not there. Go and find Ruqayya. Where is the 3-year-old daughter of Hussein? Go and find her." Zainab then woke up from her sleep and saw Ruqayya was not there with the rest of the children. She called Umm Kulthum. She said, "We must go find Ruqayya. Where can she be at this time of night?" They said they went into the field and started looking for Ruqayya. They called for her, "Ya Ruqayya, where are you?" Every time they called, they heard no response until they went next to the bodies of Imam al-Hussein and his companions. The bodies that had no cover. The bodies that the horses of the enemies of Islam had trampled. The bodies that lay there full of blood and full of sand. They said, "As we approached the bodies, we called out for Ruqayya. Then we saw that she had thrown herself on one of the bodies and she had passed out." She said, "Ya Ruqayya, what are you doing here?" She said, "Oh Zainab, I miss my father Hussein. I came to find my father Hussein." "Now, how did you find your father Hussein? None of these bodies, you cannot identify who's who. Ya Ruqayya, how did you know this was Hussein?" She said, "When I left the cabin, I came toward the battlefield of the body. I kept calling, 'Ya Ma, Ya Hussein, where are you? Ya Hussein, where are you? Ruqayya needs you.'" She said, "I kept calling for my father. Then all of a sudden I heard a weak voice say, 'Ya Ruqayya, ana al-Hussein.' I found the body of my father Hussein lying on the floor, cut to piece by piece by the enemies of Islam. I fell on the body of my father and began to cry. I said, 'Ya Hussein, Ya Abba, you don't know what happened to us after they killed you, Ya Hussein. The enemies of Islam came to the death. They had no mercy on the women and the children. Ya Hussein, they came and they pulled the earring from my ear. Ya Hussein, when I asked them not to hit me, Ya Hussein, they slapped me in the face. Ya Hussein, when I cried, they hit me. Ya Hussein, when I was silent, they hit me. Ya Hussein, who will look after us now? Who will protect us now that you have been martyred? Abbas has been martyred." Zainab and Umm Kulthum found Ruqayya and brought her back to the camp and to the tent. Until the next day that it was time to leave, the enemies of Islam came and imprisoned all of the women and the children and Imam Zainul Abidin. They put chains on their hands, they put chains on the neck of the holy Imam. And as they were leaving the land of Karbala, they took them next to the bodies of Hussein, Abbas and the other companions. When they were passing the bodies that were left there without any covers, Zainab looked to the body of Hussein and said, "Wa Muhammada, wa Muhammada, wa Muhammada. Salli alayka malaikatu sama. Hada Hussein, murammanun bid-dima. And they have taken the women and the children as prisoners. Wow.